Mr. Pop.
Hi, everyone. This is your favorite president, Donald J. Trump. I have to say, Ruck and Roll is my favorite podcast. I also love Kevin Hillier, Mark Fine, and Brian Mannix.
This is Ruck and Roll, your weekly shot of sport and music with Kevin Hillier, Brian Mannix, and Mark Fine.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to Ruck and Roll, the podcast that rucks and rolls around once a week. My name's Kevin Hillier. I'm sort of the host come, you know, one of the gruesome threesome here. And our rock star in resident at the penthouse there on the Gold Coast is the lovely Brian Mannix.
Bonjour. Mon cochon est mort.
That means your pig is dead.
That's exactly right. When somebody says to you, parlez-vous français, you go, oui, mon cochon est mort. Which immediately tells them that you don't speak French, but I like saying that.
Your pig is dead.
Yes, my pig is. Do I speak French? Yes, my pig is dead.
Very good.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. And, of course, the other voice you heard is Mark Fine, the one and only, returning to the radio very, very soon. The countdown is on for everyone. All the fans are lining up. They're getting ready, and Fine is preparing himself by studying, I don't know, the
abuse techniques.
I mean, that's the problem. The problem is people expect me to be
an asshole,
abrasive, and I don't want it to be forced. You know, I'm not going to do it just for the sake of doing it. You know,
But look, let's be honest. It's not going to take very long for someone to ring you up after the first game of the season between Melbourne and Sydney, I think it is, and say something that is going to irritate you, Mark. Let's be honest.
Fuck off. I am easily irritated. You know what?
There's just a lot of dickheads around who want to get on the radio and say stupid stuff.
Yeah, you know what irritates me?
You go on.
The view out of Brian's window. I am jealous.
The windows are a little bit salty. I need to wash them tomorrow, but I've just got back from Melbourne, so I haven't had time. But anyway.
Well, which reminds me, when I want to talk to you about the gigs from the weekend and stuff, we've got a lot to get through. We've got a chart from March 17, 1978, which is full of some very tasty stuff and some interesting stories about some interesting artists in that one, and it's another lovely little conglomerate of music. How did you find it, Finey?
Yeah, good. I've got a couple of very interesting stories. I'm
beautiful.
Interested to hear Brian's reaction to one of them, but we will leave that until later in the program. We have people to kill off.
Yeah, we do. We do. How do you find the chart, Brian? I'm going to do the top 10.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Kev. I've been travelling all day. I caught the wrong bus home from the airport and I ended up in Robina. And then I've had a bit of a challenging day.
That's the slum part of the Gold Coast.
So I haven't actually had a look at it yet, but I will be looking at it when there's something in-depth happening in the show, which I can't contribute to. So I'll be up to speed when it matters.
That clearly doesn't include the introduction. But let me give you the top 10 to save you looking those up. Number 10, Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft by the Carpenters. Even though that is one of the worst songs the Carpenters ever did, I can still listen to her sing.
Yeah, yeah.
Surfing USA by Leif Garrett is number 9.
Okay.
Number 8 is The Crunch by The Ra Band.
I kicked on.
I had to look that one up. Number 7, Nobody Does It Better by Carly Simon. Oh. Number 6, Stayin' Alive by the Bee Gees. Number 5, Emotion by Samantha Sang. Number 4, Sometimes When We Touch by Dan Hill. Number 3, Yes Sir, I Can Boogie by Baccarat. Oh. Number 2, It's a Heartache by Bonnie Tyler. And the number one song is a bloody ripper. This is March 17, 1978. I was doing nights in Brisbane at 4 p.m. Brisbane, and we were playing the bejesus out of this and loving every second of Isn't It Time by the Babies.
Oh, yeah. Our good friend John Waite.
Yeah. Very, very good song, that. Excellent pop song.
Yep.
So that's the top 10. And there are, I think I'll go through the stats a little later on, but there's, if we count the Bee Gees and Samantha Sang, well, Samantha Sang is an Aussie, but if we count the Bee Gees, and that includes Andy, as Aussies. I think there's 11 Aussies in the chart. The two in the top 10 are the Bee Gees and Samantha Sang, which they obviously wrote that song for her. But as Cheryl Gray, she was an Aussie. As Samantha Sang, she went overseas and started doing Bee Gees songs. So interesting.
Good for her.
Yep. All right, Brian.
Yes.
I'll get to you first before we get to the owner of Lenny's Fine Foods there in North Caulfield and have a chat to him about his week. Your week, you went to Cryle Castle on the weekend and played a big gig there. It was like bloody Woodstock, that gig. There was that many people on it.
It was great. The people there were, there was a great audience. I always like those shows where you're sort of hanging around backstage with the Eurogliders. I don't see them that often, but I love hanging out with Bernie and Grace, and the Shantuzis are there, and Ross the Boss, he's always interesting. And Steve Williams from Wawanee, and the guys from 1927. So, yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. And best part was that the audience really enjoyed it. So a successful day all around.
Can I ask, that area has been is very close to the centre of the big fire action that's happening across northern Victoria. How close were you to it? And was it hazy or smoky?
Well, when I came off, I was talking to Scott and he said, how'd you go up there? And I said, yeah, I went all right. I went good. And he goes, did you get a bit short of breath? And I said, yeah, but, I just thought it was a big stage and I was getting puffed out. And he said, no, I reckon it's all the smoke in the air, because I think Ararat was on fire, but there was smoke everywhere. Air was full of smoke. But that saved us some money on the smoke machine, so it worked out well.
Well, I think, in fact, the finding is live from Beaufort tonight, judging by how much smoke is going across the screen as every time he speaks. I thought you were getting off the vaping.
Eventually.
Oh, okay. So the gig went well, everything was good, and happy campers all around.
Yeah, everybody was happy, and I was happy, and so well done, everybody, and well done the band, and well done all the artists, and especially me.
All right. Now, I want to tell you, I saw today on Facebook, am I right in saying this, that Brian Mannix and the John Kirk Explosion are appearing this coming weekend?
Well, I've got a busy week this week. I've got to come down. I think I'm playing Lucky 13, I think, on Friday in Melbourne somewhere.
Yep.
And then I fly back and do Twin Towns on Saturday. So a bit of travel.
Are you and Kirk doing Twin Towns?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're in the auditorium or where we're playing. No, we're doing Helen's Vale. I mixed up. But, yeah, so, yeah, that's apparently a good gig. So, it'll be good to play with the other band and do some songs that I don't normally get to do.
Very good. All right.
Busy. So, hang on. Where's Lucky 13?
I don't know. It's not on the north. It's not north of the Yarra, I wouldn't presume, because I'd probably know it if it was.
No, I think it's in Moorabbin.
I reckon you might be right.
I reckon I might be going with Natalie.
Oh, well, let me know and I'll put your name on the door.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it'd be good. Come backstage and say hi. Steal some of our beer.
I'm not a thief.
Well, you're a guest. You're allowed to have it.
Okay, then I will.
All right, then.
Lucky 13 Garage, is that what it's called? That's the gig?
I think so, yeah.
Well, you're right, it's in Moorabbin.
Oh, well, let me know, Finey, and come on down.
It's in Cochrane's Road, Moorabbin. Now, Cochrane's Road, isn't that where, no, Linton Street's where the ground is. What's in Cochrane's Road that I know?
I used to work on Cochrane's Road. That's just a street and road in Moorabbin. It's good.
Yeah, it must be something I used to go to in Cochrane's Road because I know the road well. Yeah, there you go. So that's
USA Foods.
Well, come on down to Lucky 13 on Friday and come to Helen's Vale, whatever the pub is there, on Saturday, people. Right.
Now, Finey, how's Lenny's Fine Foods going? I was going to call it Finey's Lenny's Food there for a minute. I don't know what was going on. How's your week been?
It's going gangbusters. In fact, tonight, we sort of restock on a Tuesday. I was saying to Noel, the manager, when he opens up tomorrow, he's going to have to conjure some magic till I get all the food in, because we've almost sold out of all our major lines. It was a huge weekend and very busy today. So the Renaults are really working very well, and things are really kicking on.
Good on you. I think your social media presence has helped a bit too. People,
seeing
a bit of that. So,
or maybe the major lines are influencing your opinion of how well it's going. You know, you have a couple of major lines, you're going to think everything's great.
I hear you. So I was supposed to record the ad for SEN today because we're, you know, part of the deal is running ads.
Yep.
But I had a bit of an idea because we're a New York-style deli, so I've written the ad, you know, sort of explaining that it's a New York-style deli, the authentic New York experience, and I've got this great girl from New York to voice the ad on Wednesday. So
very good.
A genuine New York accent should be very good.
Do you have to pay her?
Yep.
So I could have done it for you with AI for nothing.
Well, we discussed AI.
Yeah. And it works pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but it's a bit shonky. And you know, we go into the recording studio and I can sort of work with her and my good friend Eddie Olick at SEN, and we'll put it together the way I want it. But, yeah, AI was mentioned.
Yeah.
I was going to get Taylor Swift to do it.
Yeah, well, that's always doable. That's very doable.
Hot on her from her performance on this very podcast. In fact, Brian, what's that noise in the background? Is that the penthouse? That the penthouse hotline ringing in the background, Brian?
It is. Hang on, I'll just get it.
Oh,
and see who it is.
Who is it?
Hi everyone. This is your favorite president, Donald J. Trump. I have to say, in fact, we don't have a choice. There is no choice. I have to say, Ruck and Roll is my favorite podcast. I love Australian football. I also love Kevin Hillier, Mark Fine, and Brian Mannix. And I'm rooting Taylor Swift.
How about that?
Right.
Breaking news.
It must be authentic because it can't be AI, because if it was AI, Brian would have said that Donald Trump wanted to root him like he does with every other AI person. It's on. Do you notice that as a recurring theme?
It does seem to be a bit of a recurring theme.
Donald Trump must be the only American not touring Australia at some stage in the next 3 weeks. My God, is there a lot of tours in this country at the moment?
It's terrible. Like Blink 182 are out here.
Are they?
Yeah. And there's some other band. Might have been Blink 182. I'm not sure. But nobody knew they were here, and then they just finished and left. They've been and gone, I think. And Matchbox 20, they were here. Pink was here.
Yeah.
But Taylor just took all the oxygen. There was no room for any media about them.
Well, I didn't realise that the Red Hot Summer festival shows had started. They started on the weekend. There was one in the Gold Coast yesterday. Cheap Trick, Susie Quattro, John
Baby
Stevens.
Animals.
I think they might have been on Starfish.
Oh.
I think they were all on it. But Susie and Cheap Trick.
I like the guys from Chocolate Starfish, but
Adam,
that's kind of. He's a great front man, but they've kind of turned into a cover band. You know, they just play, you know, they'll do a Queen show or they'll do an In Excess show, but they play a lot of covers these days, which, and I suppose You're So Vain was a cover, but, it obviously works for them, but, you know, if it was me, it was my band, the X-Men. I don't want to make the X-Men start playing a lot of covers. It's just not the way I'd go. I'd rather stiff and play my own songs than start doing Brown Eyed Girl in an X-Men show, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Not that they do that. No, they're great. They're good. And I really like Darren, the drummer. He gets me a lot of work.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, Adam's a terrific character. He's very funny, very funny human being. But there's so many tours here at the moment. And even like, not only the big, you know, Pink and Taylor Swift and Cheap Trick and Susie Quattro and everyone else that's doing, but then you've got Henry Winkler running around the country doing a speaking tour. You've got all those things going on as well. Are we being touched up by internationals? Are we ripe for the picking or something? Is there no work in their own country that they've just all come in here and en masse?
Well, Taylor Swift just bankrupted America, so they've got to come out here because we're still cashed up. But you wouldn't want to be coming to Australia next month because Taylor's taken all the money. Like, you know, what'd she do? 280,000 in Melbourne.
Yep.
And you're looking at what, you know, average 300 a ticket, probably. I don't know. And then add the merchandise on. You know, she would have taken shitloads of money out of
this company. Yeah, she could. I'm led to believe that the amount of jobs that were created because of that concert, because it was very well staffed, more than a normal, for want of a better word, normal concert. Mm. So what she's brought to the economy and what she's spun around in our economy is obviously pretty big as well. So,
but geez, don't people milk it? When I was in Adelaide last week, my friend, she'd driven her girl to Melbourne and back to see Taylor Swift because Qantas or Jetstar or Virgin, they were charging $1,000 to go to Melbourne and back from Adelaide. Now, normally you can do that trip for about $300. That's just gouging. Yeah. Bad airlines.
Yeah, no, they're not the only ones gouging, that's for sure. Now, is there anyone you want to go and see that's coming out of the acts around, or you're not interested in doing any of that stuff? You don't want to nip off?
No.
Weren't invited to the Pratt household on the weekend to see Katy Perry?
No. No, I wasn't. But I was she in town.
Katy Perry, $1.5 million to do a one-off show, private show at the Pratt House.
Really?
At Raheem, I think it's called.
Raheem.
Raheem, the mansion.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, we do go there every week.
You go there every week?
Not personally, but my food does.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
There you go.
Well, not every week, every second week.
Okay.
Well, you send them over some major lines, do you, for Katy Perry?
Oh, no. Our food gets around.
Okay, fair enough.
Very good. Well done. Yep. Righto, let's talk some sport, boys, because I know you're all dying to talk about, finally, I know this will be one of the first things you'll talk about on SEN before you get to the game. You'll be talking about the AFL's new glove policy.
I don't know. What is it?
It was apparently released today that if you want to wear a glove now, you have to have a medical certificate, or Laura Kane, who's, you know, the head honcho of the league now in terms of running the place, rules and things, has to sign off on it if you want to wear a freaking glove.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that was worth –
Well, you know, it's right up there with the whistling from the bench rule.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
I did watch the smack simulation between St Kilda and Essendon. Did you want to talk about that, Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I went to the beer garden where they had it on, and I came in about halfway through the first quarter, and we were behind, but, you know, we were sort of in it. And then by halfway through the second quarter, I said, oh, this is a joke. We're just getting our ass tapped. So that's when I left and decided that practice matches are just bullshit because they're just giving everybody a go and they're not giving away their best tactics yet. But you guys looked real good.
Yeah, I was very pleased with our recruits and our draftees. They looked very good.
I liked Goldstein for us, though. I thought his
– Yeah, he was all right.
He actually puts the ball right in their lap. I noticed him a couple of times. He put it straight in Zach Merritt's lap. And, yep. You know, Draper's good, but he wins the tap out, but it doesn't go to our blokes half the time. He's very adamant that it goes to our bloke, and I was quite impressed with him for the half hour I watched him.
Yeah, no, he was good. Gresham was good for you. But, we were impressive, and Liam Henry from Fremantle, Bonner from Port Adelaide were good. Darcy Wilson, but it's very early. Don't need to get excited.
Just well, I was going to ask this question because Lee Brown, who works with me on Saturday mornings on the show I do in Geelong, is of the opinion he's not all that sure that they should be telecasting those games because of a number of reasons, but wanted to know what you thought about that. Finally, you obviously got a bit out of it in terms of acquainting yourself with some of the new players and things that you'll be talking about, but from a fan point of view, did you get anything out of it?
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, I once said on SEN, I'd rather watch the worst game of football. I'd rather watch a bad game of football than go out with, you know, any of my wife's friends. got me in a bit of trouble.
Yes, I do remember you famously.
I just figure you're planning on not getting a route this week. Fine, good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, yeah. You say that when you know it's not on.
I like watching football. It's a good sport.
Yeah, I don't know about the practice. I don't know about the practice matches. I went to watch Essendon Gold Coast last year. That had six quarters. Everybody played. It was as boring as batshit because there was no atmosphere. And what I saw of the Essendon St Kilda game was like, look, you know, this is just. Well, I suppose if you lose in yours, it's just a stupid practice game.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it because it went all right. But yeah, I can understand. Look, there's that Richmond Collingwood game tomorrow night.
Well, that's the step up from the match simulation stuff. That's a proper practice match. Yeah. So I mean, there's not anything on the line for it, and you're not playing for sheep stations, but there's at least that this is the last hit out we'll get before we actually go into a proper game for points in a bit over a week's time.
I think it was better when they had the Ansett Cup.
Yeah, I used to love that.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I thought it was good. You know, and teams that weren't likely to win the flag could maybe win or do well in the Ansett Cup and boost their membership drive and all that. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, St Kilda won that. Well, it was the ninth series. It was during the season, but they won that in 1995. That was very exciting, you know, because we'd never seen anything at St Kilda. So to win that was a real buzz.
Well, I remember when the Doggies, and I think Daniel Gian Siracusa might have been our captain for the pre-season series that we won there, the mid-2000s, I think it was, somewhere around there. And we're very excited about that because we hadn't won anything for God knows how many years. So there's merit in those proper pre-season competitions, but they started to bastardise them so much in the end. That's why they've gone to this sort of just play your practice matches, make them fair to them practice matches, but they don't count towards a point system for a cup or anything.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, fair enough.
Which is fair. Other footy news, I wanted to talk about Angus Brayshaw. He's not the first to have to be medically retired from the game. He won't be the last, but certainly one of the more high profile. And sad that a young man with, you know, so much football ability and talent, unfortunately, just can't play anymore.
Yep, very unfortunate. But in a way, obviously he has sustained some damage and it's important that that's identified and he doesn't keep playing footy. So that's at least a step above what happened generations ago at least.
Yep, and what still happens in some other sports?
Yeah, that's right. So I think the protocols are rigid and for a good reason, you know.
Do you think, both of you, that there's talk that the VAFA are trialling this 28 day? Once you're concussed, it'll be 28 days. I don't think AFL clubs are going to cop that.
No way.
I don't think they'll. If that's four games, if you've got to sit four games out, I can't see the AFL clubs and the players, to be honest, copping that as stock standard.
Yeah, and I think the amateur leagues and suburban and country leagues need to be stricter because they don't have the depth of medical supervision and qualified medicos that an AFL club or the AFL system has. So you're not going to come back at the AFL unless you've been cleared, but it's much harder at local level to enforce that or to guarantee that that's been properly policed. So they probably need a much safer blanket rest period.
Yeah. I hope that by this stage, now that we've got to this point, that in those suburban competitions, I'm sure the VAFA does, as the VFL does, but in the suburban competitions, that their protocols regarding concussion diagnosis on the ground is as good as it can possibly be. I hope they've got that sorted out. Brian, would you, if you know, you saw a bloke hit in the head and he's out for 4 weeks, he's your number one player. As a fan, are you going to be upset by that if it's 4 weeks?
I think a mandate of time is a bit silly. You've got to assess each case on its own merit, I would think. I think, you could probably say, you've got to take next week off, but I think, you know, if the doctors say a bloke's fine after 10 days, we'll go with that. I don't, you know, once again, it's people bringing in rules and regulations just to make themselves important. And I know that their heart's probably in the right spot, but, you know, I think let's let the doctors decide rather than have a mandate rule. That seems a bit silly to me.
Yep. A minimum, have a minimum of 10 days. And then if they're right, they can go. But then if they're not right, then you hold them back.
Something like that, yeah. You know, I'll let the doctors decide, not the Players Association or some industry in the football world. You know, let the doctors decide.
Yep.
I think that makes sense. You know, you're not going to go to the AFL to ask you what you should do with your pancreatitis, would you? So why would they bother telling you what you should do with your concussion? You know, give us a rest. Yeah.
The other football-related story from the week, they could have been champions. 43 mm-hmm. years, no longer, that's it. They will not be doing a radio show of any description from now on. They'll do a couple of live gigs around the place that they've been
creative differences or –
No. I think they just decided that it was time. They've been doing – Friday afternoons on 3MP, the last, I think, 2 years. I think they just decided that, it's all over for whatever reason. I didn't see any particular reasons given. But, yeah, after they've been – I think they're all kind of spread. They brought some new people in. Tony Leonard's not part of it anymore, and he was part of the heyday of the Coulda Beans. I think, you know, they've all – sort of at stages of their lives now where they're doing a whole lot of different things as opposed to what they were doing 30 or 40 years ago when it sort of, you know, suited them to be get together on a Saturday morning, jump into the ABC studios in up the top of the city there and do their show and then nip off and then maybe do the Sunday night one as well. So I think their lives have changed. So, but they, I mean, they at their peak, they were bloody terrific.
Oh, yeah.
They were brilliant, groundbreaking.
Yep.
Enjoyable. But I think their talk back will remain.
Yeah, when they faked the phone calls, that was great.
Yeah, iconic.
Yeah.
Hello, Teddy. Oh, yes.
I'm preparing for Melbourne. I just got back from the snow.
Yeah, God. They did. So, they picked every sort of niche that they could possibly find about every club's supporter base, and they nailed it.
Well, was it Matthew from Moorabbin?
Yeah. Who was the guy from?
He used to say, I had a couple of salad sandwiches for lunch, deep fried.
And I like the guy from Richmond. And I think was it Justin Charles got done with an illegal substance in him, the Richmond player?
Yep.
And the guy from Richmond, yeah, Tony, what's going on, mate? What's going on? And he's going, well, what's the problem? Well, Justin Charles, mate, you know, he's gone for the drugs. And I go, and he goes, well, yes, he's been suspended for the drugs. And he goes, well, consistency. And he goes, what do you mean? And he goes, well, last week on the field, Dustin Fletcher was tripping. He was tripping. I think that was when they brought in that big tripping rules. You trip someone, you got 6 weeks or something. But, I thought that was great. That always stuck with me.
And Champs' songs were always good too. Always found them good.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be missed.
I'm a weight man.
Dermot Bruton is a hood. He had a song for everybody. He did a song for everyone. No.
And I know they used to have that competition or something, a theme, and you'd have to ride in. And I got read out a couple of times.
Oh, did you?
Great. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I remember one was around the Olympics and they wanted events relating to football that they could bring in at the Olympics. You know, Olympic sports based on footy.
Right, what'd you come up with?
I said they should have the circular sprint like goes on at Waverley when the second siren goes, because everybody used to run on the ground and try to be the first person to get to the centre circle. Yes. I said it'd be great to have all the best runners in the world running at each other.
Oh, yeah.
And the other was the 50-metre reverse run as perfected by umpires when they gave 50-metre penalties and would remember how they used to trot back the umpires? The reverse 50 run, that would have been a good event, 50 metres running backwards.
And, you know, when they do the heritage round, I reckon they should stick the goal umpires back in the hats and the white coats. I love the hats and the white coats with the goal umpires. Oh, that look great. Yeah. If a heritage round, I think you could definitely bring that back.
Yeah.
That's the
only... my favourite thing with goal umpires? No. Like, you've got to hang around after the game to see it.
Oh, when they stand in the middle with the pieces of paper and tally up the scores.
In front of their eyes. They hold it up in front of their eyes. It's hilarious.
And you know what? It's even funnier when you see it at suburban footy and they're standing in the middle of the – and there's blokes running park giving them just the – because the pristine of the AFL, you don't get – but when you stand out – and I have done, you know, local footy broadcasting, you stand out there and there and you're trying to make out what the final margin is and you're waiting for the umpires to actually tell you. The abuse that they get, the things that people say to them while they're adding the thing up and then looking at each other, then looking at the piece of paper, then looking at the scoreboard, it's hysterical.
I love it. We used to hang around at the race when they were coming off and abuse them. You know 1 + 1 = 2, idiot.
No, they do. And that's probably the one piece of merchandising in the AFL that they don't do a different version of through the season and sell it to people is the umpires clobber. Brian, you might have found a new revenue source for the AFL there.
What have I done?
You might find a new revenue source for the AFL based on umpire clobber.
Well, why not? I think, you know, some pointy boots and some stovepipes would look really good.
Pointy boots and stovepipes. I could see some of the umpires in that.
Actually, I think some of the forwards in the game are playing with pointy boots. It keeps coming off the side of their foot.
Yes. It's the one area that's never been fixed.
I will tell you one thing. Mm-hmm. There is a key forward in football. I watched him in the practice match on the weekend. He is the most beautiful kick for goal. Logan McDonald. He's a good kicker goal.
He's got a shit name. He needs something.
Yeah, well, he's got it. You know, the Big South, he's going to be very important for the Swans, you know. So just watch how he kicks a goal. That's how you should kick.
How long's he been? I don't know him, Finey, very well. How long's he been around?
Oh, yeah. He's number 6 in the draft about 3 years ago from WA.
Oh, okay. Well, he's
a very, very smart player.
Okay. Well, Robbo, you know, a.k.a. the Herald Sun's writer with the Mike Sheehan invented – top 50 players of all time or whatever it is for this year, the top 50 players of the year. I think that was released today in the paper. I didn't get the paper, so I don't know, but I heard a couple of people talking about it. I believe Marcus Bonampelli is number one, which probably surprised me.
Makes sense to me.
Mm. Is he the best player in the competition?
Yeah, I think you'd pick him first. He's a champion.
Oh, I'm not for one moment suggesting he's not a champion.
I'd say if you were picking him, team, you might pick Charlie Kuno first because, I mean, he's such a devastating forward and there's not that many around.
I was going to say, if you don't get Bonampelli, you get Petrarca or you get Green or you get maybe three or four other blokes, Oliver, three or four other blokes you could throw in there, maybe not quite as good as I think Bonampelli is brilliant.
Yep.
But Petrarca and he, the difference between those two is –
yeah, they're pretty similar.
Yeah, so if you missed out on Kerno, who's the second best
forward? That's right.
What do
Bontempelli and Petrarca have in common?
Shit names. Petrarca, Bontempelli.
Well, both Italian, but I guess that's one thing. They're both Italian. They're both Italian heritage,
mm-hmm.
But they were both overlooked by St Kilda. St Kilda picked McCartan ahead of Petrarca and Billings ahead of Bontempelli.
Is that right? Good grief. Yep.
Yeah, good grief is correct.
Good grief.
Well,
emphasis on grief.
This will make you feel, but just remember that Richmond took Richard Tambling instead of Buddy Franklin. So.
Yeah.
Richard who?
Yeah, exactly.
Goodness.
I played more games than him.
Richmond had a really bad patch there with some of their number one draft picks. Who was the kid they picked from Nil or somewhere? Was it Anthony Bannock?
Yeah,
he was
the man child.
Yeah, he was the number one draft pick the year that he was in the draft,
and they picked Richard Lowndes from South Australia.
Oh yes, they did. Oh goodness me! I mean, we've all made mistakes, but by geez,
yes,
they're fairly big ones. Bit more sport news, and while we're on the back of the coulda bench, Karen Tighe. From ABC Grandstand, has retired from the ABC after 35 years, and a recent, really awful health problems that she had that she came back from, problems with her brain, but she came back from them and has decided now that she actually wants to go and spend some time, smell the roses and do all that stuff and not do Grandstand on a Saturday afternoon. But she is one of the really terrific broadcasters. Male, female, ABC, commercial, whatever you want. She's just a really good broadcaster and from all reports a hell of a human being as well. So good luck to her.
Could I ask when the Matildas are playing Uzbekistan? Is
next
that tonight?
On my list. No, next on my list.
Oh, good, good.
3-0 we won in the frozen capital of the world, wherever it was, on Saturday night. I watched a fair bit of it.
Without Sam Kerr?
No, Sam Kerr. We won't have Sam Kerr back. I don't think we'll have her back for the Olympics. She did an ACL, so she's 12 months.
Oh, God. My brother's dog just did his ACL. How's that happened?
There you go. Oh,
our dog did its ACL a month ago. Had to get fixed.
$4,500, I'm tipping.
$9,000.
Oh, my brother got it for $4,500, so...
Yeah, we got taken to the cleaners, I think.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, and then you got the bucket on the head and the dogs. You got to drug up the dog so he doesn't overextend himself.
Correct. The dog was on Oxy.
Yeah.
How long's a dog's ACL take to heal?
8 weeks.
I think, my brother's got another 6 weeks of keeping him. He's got the bucket off.
So hang on. So doggy is 7-1, right? But healing, they heal quicker.
Oh, well. Yeah. But you know the problem with a border collie, they reckon if they do one ACL there, a 1 in 2 chance of doing the other one.
Oh, no.
Really?
So Nat goes, can they do all three? And the vet goes, the front two are arms, not legs.
My brother had pet insurance. Up until 2 weeks before it happened. He'd had it for the first 12 months.
No.
And he said, look, it's costing me $75 a month. Forget this. And then 2 weeks later, the dog's done its ACL at $4,500 if he just hung in there for another couple of weeks. Anyway.
So you know the problem with, if you have a look at pet insurance, they've got certain breeds are not covered for certain conditions.
Oh, what? Because they'll get them.
Yeah, because border collies do.
Good on insurance companies.
You know, it's like bulldogs, you don't get respiratory disease covers. And all the inherent things that are inherent for certain breeds are not covered.
Alsatians seem to get arthritis in their back. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm buying a monkey.
Right. Now, so back to the Matildas and the original question before Sam Kerr.
When are they playing?
They're playing Wednesday night.
So you know, with a monkey, if you get pet insurance,
what won't they cover?
Bananas up the arse.
Thank you. Yeah.
And they won't cover you for frogs. We know what those monkeys are like when it comes to frogs.
Wednesday night at Marvel Stadium, Uzbekistan again, reverse tie, but we're 3-0, so we're off to Paris for the Olympics, which will be good.
Well, they're keen to win a medal, and I hope they do.
Yeah, good team.
They deserve one.
And they brought a girl back who hadn't played for ages, Heyman, the striker, and they were struggling to put the ball in the back of the net. She was on for 5 minutes, and next minute the ball's in the back of the net. Thank you.
Good on you.
Yeah. So they were good. They were good in the second half.
They're exciting.
Yeah,
they're and terrific. I love Mary Fowler.
Yeah, she's good. She scored
she's
a goal.
A gun.
She's a star. She is a star. And Ellie Carpenter I like too.
She's
on
great.
The right side. She's terrific. Now they've got a
good If team. I was about 23, I'd be making a move on Mary Fowler, I reckon.
Well, Nathan Cleary, the Penrith halfback and rugby league star, probably the biggest rugby league star going around right at the minute, probably the best player in rugby league. He and Mary hooked up for a little while. I'm not sure they're still together, but they...
Yeah, well, he didn't know how to treat her right, did he?
Well, I'm not sure they're not together and I'm not sure they are together.
He takes her out to dinner, takes her to McDonald's.
I haven't kept
him. And has a bag of goon out by the car. That's hardly a romantic evening.
Right. Now, cricket. Turning our attention to cricket now.
All right.
India are cruising. If they haven't already cruised to a victory in the test against England, they needed 70-odd runs the last time I looked, so they would have got them fairly easily, I would have thought. Australia, a 3-0 T20 win in New Zealand with a whole lot of players who will probably form our T20 World Cup team later in the year. And
the first game was a ripper.
I must admit, I didn't see any of the games. So
oh, yeah.
A little first bit of highlights.
First one was they made 215.
Was that the one where Tim David got four off the last ball? They got 33 off 36 or something off the last.
Well, we needed 28 off the last eight balls.
Yeah, and we got it.
Yeah, or 34 off the last nine or something, and he hit three six, and then the last ball we needed four to win. And it was a bloody good ball. It was exactly where you'd want to put it. And he sort of dug it out and it went for four. It was an amazing shot.
Yeah, I did see that in the highlights.
So, I mean, he's an amazing story. He's got a $1 million IPL contract. He plays 2020 all around the world. They reckon he earns about $3 million a year and he's never played a first-class game.
Jeez. Yeah, and I don't know that he'd get in the Australian test team, would he?
Oh, no, he's never played a first-class game. He couldn't make the WA team. He played WA seconds, and he tried for a couple of years to make the WA team. He's never played a Shield game.
Oh, wow. Oh, not even. I figured you must have just meant test career. Oh, not even.
No, he's never played a first-class game in his life.
Good grief. That is
amazing.
That is bizarre.
Yep. Make $3 million a year by not succeeding. That's terrific.
Well, succeeding in the IPL and the T20 franchises around the world now, clearly you can make yourself a very, very comfortable and very good living.
Well, if you can make that sort of money not succeeding, then we should keep doing this podcast.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And before we get moved, because we've only got we're three quarters of the way through the show, let's get to the Death Eliza, Brian. It's a short one this week.
Hang on, I've just got another phone call.
Oh, hang on, the penthouse hotline's gone again.
Because he loves.
I'd like to thank you for your thoughts. I may not agree with you, but I love our country and I respect the First Amendment. Freedom of speech. With that in mind, I would like to exercise my freedom of speech. I truly believe you are a total quit. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Good. That's Donald Trump. Enjoy. Not really enthused with our sports report tonight.
Fair enough.
Okay. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the segment that launched George Michael, Michael Jackson, and Prince. This is the Death Elizer.
Oh, okay. Now, I only have one. Well, two, but only.
I should have done a longer intro.
No, it's only one. It's only one. It's only into the sporting world, from the English football world. And I must admit, one of my favourites as a kid growing up, I thought this bloke was terrific. He was a bit of a runaway off the ground. He had all sorts of issues with gambling and women, and he was set in the he was in the George Best mode.
God bless him.
And he didn't play for one of the more glamorous clubs for the most part of his career, but I thought he was bloody terrific. Stan Bowles passed away at the age of 75. I'm sure you're aware of his work, Finey.
He was one of my first English football heroes, which is why I loved QPR.
Yeah, exactly, for Queen's Park Rangers.
He formed a great combination with Jerry Francis, Terry Venables, a guy called Mancini, and they finished second in the league to Liverpool. They were in front with one round to go, you know, and little QPR, but yeah, he was a master practitioner. Very exciting to watch.
Yeah, he was a great little midfielder, come sort of striker type player.
Yep.
His first coach at one of his early clubs said that if he could pass a betting shop as well as he could pass the ball, he'd be a very rich man. So he had a few problems there. And when Tommy Docherty, when the QPR days were just about done for him, and Tommy Docherty was trying to get him over and win him back again and get him back on the straight and narrow, he said to him, "You can trust me." To which Stan replied, "I'd rather trust my chickens with Colonel Sanders." And he wasn't at QPR for much longer after that. But he had 255 games at QPR, played for England 5 times. There was a glut of people in his position at that stage who had mortgages on the English thing. But a senior career of 507 games and 127 goals. So I dips my lid to Stan Bowles. He was one of the beauties of that era. Now, the other one is Flacco. Now, when I saw Flacco died at the age of 13, I thought, well, that's
is he the comedian guy made the weird noises?
That's why I looked originally. Flacco, I thought it was the Sydney comedian who has been around that city, but not. And then I saw 13 and I thought, well, no, Flacco, the Sydney comedian, is not 13. Who is this and what is this Flacco? Then I saw the cause of death and I thought, what the bloody hell is going on here? The cause of death is window collision.
What?
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then on further investigation, I find out that Flacco is actually an American owl. And Flacco was a long-time inhabitant at the Central Park Zoo in New York, got out, escaped in February of 2023 and took up residence outside the zoo in Central Park. So it became a bit of a media kind of, curiosity. But didn't sort of go much past a year out in the wild, out of the confines of the Central Park Zoo, and obviously flew into a window sometime over the weekend, and that's the end of Flacco.
Broke his neck.
End of story.
Quite honestly, I couldn't give a hoot.
There you go.
And that ends the death, Eliza Bryan.
There is no more death. Death, there is no more here. That concludes tonight's episode of The Death of Eliza.
All right, let's get to the chart. It is the 17th of March, 1978. I mentioned the top 10 before. The baby's on top with Isn't It Time. Finey, lead us off.
All right, I'm going to start. I'm not quite sure where this song appears in the chart, but I certainly liked it, so I looked it up and it was quite interesting. 2468 by the Tom Robinson, 2468 Motorway.
Yep.
By the Tom Robinson
6-8, never too late. Me and my baby run all through the night. That about close, no, yeah. Brian?
You should form a band, Kev.
Thanks, Brian.
It's too good to be wasted.
Thanks, Brian.
So, British band, Tom Robinson Band, headed by Tom Robinson. And if you heard that song, 2-4-6-8, Motorway, you'd think a bit of a bogan band, really.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom Robinson was not a bogan.
No.
In fact, his other hit with that band was a song, Good to Be Gay. Now, Tom Robinson.
Hey, whoa, back up. What was that called?
Good to Be Gay.
Yeah, he was an advocate.
He was an advocate for gay rights. He himself, quite interestingly, not gay, not straight, described himself as bisexual. In fact, he sung that song at a bisexual conference in the United States. I didn't know they had them, but anyhow, there you go.
Did I?
But he came up with...
I'm going.
He came up with the chorus, 2-4-6-8 Motorway, from a chant, 2-4-6-8, better gay than straight, 3-5-7-9, being a lesbian is just fine.
This equal opportunity, you're just an equal opportunity. This bisexual, you're just an equal opportunity slut.
Well,
everybody's a potential.
Interestingly, he's been married since, he's still alive. He's been
what,
married
two?
Since 19 to 19. He's been married since 1988 to his wife,
girl?
Sue.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
His wife, Sue. And the sort of gay activists got on his case a bit, saying, you know, you say that you're gay, but you're married to a woman. He said, I never said I was gay. He said, I don't really define my sexuality, but just the person I love the most in my life and I wanted to share my life with and I still love dearly is a woman, so leave me alone.
Good on him.
So, that's a way to go.
Quite interesting. So that was my first one.
It was an interesting song in terms of that song garnered an enormous amount of curiosity value because of all that you just talked about. But at the end of the day, the people who didn't know all that backstory, and we didn't get a lot of that stuff here when that song first came out.
No.
Because we didn't have the world we have now where you've got, you know, the New Music Express and all those papers that were reporting all that stuff. We didn't see all that. We just got this song in the radio station, had to listen to it and went, it's a bloody good song. We should play it. And so we did. And then it wasn't until Molly and all them started talking about all the things that he was advocating for that we found out all about that stuff.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, it's actually a song about a lorry driver driving down the M1 on a rainy night. So anywho. And then the other song that I really like from this chart is Watching the Detectives.
Oh, yes. Great song.
Good song.
By Elvis Costello. So it turns out that's the first song by Elvis Costello that ever charted.
Yeah, in Australia for sure.
Yeah, and in England. So it's the first song that ever charted. He described it certainly from the first 5 years of his career as his favourite song. It's been covered by two well-known bands, and I've got a real surprise. Do you know either of them?
No, I didn't know it had been covered by anyone.
Yeah, by Toto.
Oh, God, they'd fuck it up.
Hey, settle.
I think so, you know, Watching the Detective because it rains down in Africa. Oh, for God's
Stop it.
Sake.
Stop it.
And by Duran Duran.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Actually, you know what? Can I just say one thing? Toto, for all you put shit on them and that, and you know I like them, but
yeah, I know.
They had and still have, not still have, the best drum sound of almost any band in the world and one of the best drummers of almost any.
Steve Picaro, is it?
Yeah, Picaro. They would have loved.
Yeah, he's great.
They would have loved the drum sound that I reckon on Watching the Detectives. Always something I thought was fabulous on Watching the Detectives was the drum sound.
We produced a song for Mental as Anything and when he was out here, and I forget which one it was, but they were saying that it's just really working the kick drum and the snare. You know, they said they spent so much time on the sound of the kick and the snare drum.
Oh, wow.
So that's obviously, you know, a thing of Costello's, yeah.
Did you listen to either of the cover versions, Finey?
No, I didn't. Couldn't get a hold of them, to be honest. I tried to.
Let's try and find them.
So, the only other thing, so do you know what the song's about?
Watching the Detectives? He's so cute, Watching the Detectives. Not off the top of my head, I can't think about what it – I know it's got
– So it's a guy that's at home and should be rooting his girlfriend, but he's watching TV all night.
Oh, is that right? Most relatable song for all concerned. Two very good choices, two very good songs. I have Elvis Costello is Watching the Detectives, one of the two songs on this chart that I love.
I love Elvis Costello.
The other one's The Babies. Yeah. I just love Isn't It Time. I think Isn't It Time is one of the great little pop songs. Just bounces out of the radio, just got all the bits and pieces you need, great harmonies, great little riff in it, great vocal performance by John Wayne. Isn't It Time, I reckon, is a great little pop song.
And Watching the Detectives made Rolling Stone's 500 greatest songs of all time at 366, I think.
Yeah, it's an interesting exercise to look at it. If you have to pick 500, God.
Yep.
Ooh-wee.
I doubt I'd like 500 songs.
No, easy. Could do 500 easy, and then you'd think about another 100 after that you left out.
I suppose.
You would. I know you wouldn't have Toto in it, Brian.
No, that'd probably be 501.
Yeah, it's all right. So what are your observations on what you've seen of the chart, Brian?
Okay. Now, I've got a question. So Much in Love with You by Cheek.
Cheek, the little Aussie
band. Is that the one that goes, So Much in Love with You, yeah.
I didn't listen to the song.
Do you want me to? Because if it's that song, I love that song. Because I think I was about 17, 18. What are we, 1979. No, we're 78.
78.
Yeah, right, so I'm 16, 17. And I could play that song and it, you know, you're 16, 17 and, you know, you're trying to be a girl and it's not working out, especially at 16 when you look like you're 12. And that song really spoke to me and I just thought it was a really cute pop song. I really enjoy that song. I'd forgotten all about it till I looked at the chart and I went, yeah, I like that song. There's a lot of other songs in this chart I like too, but I just felt that that one has a little special spot in my heart, and so I thought it was deserving of some attention. The other one I'm going to go for is Bad Boy for Love by Rose Tattoo. It's a 70s song, so naturally it's about getting out of jail because everybody's just getting out of jail and going out with a 14-year-old in the 70s, if you listen to Dragon and Rose Tattoo.
Yes.
But what was interesting about that song, who was the guitarist from Easy Beach? Is it George Young?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm going to – I don't know if you can hear this, kid, but I'm going to do a little bit of a demo.
Oh.
Yeah, the song sort of went – 30 days in a countdown, 30 days in a county jail, just like that. Pretty boring.
Yep.
But then George Young just kept piss farting around until he came up with and that's the key to that song. So I just thought it was really interesting that the main hook of that song is a riff that was added while they were recording it. It wasn't part of the song. They were just playing it pretty like, you know, Deep Purple or whoever, but then that riff, that's what made the song. And, you know, I think they're just a pretty unique band and I think Angry writes some pretty good lyrics sometimes. So
yeah, I agree.
That's my number two.
All right. My observations are two songs I loved, as I said, watching the detectives like Finey and the Babies. I couldn't never stand Bonnie Tyler's "It's a Heartache." I God, that song annoyed me from the minute the first time I heard it. And the fact that it was a number one hit here for so long, I think was more to do with Countdown than it was to do with the actual quality of the song. I wonder what the hell we were thinking to let Leif Garrett have two top 10 hits with "Surfin' USA" and "Runaround Sue." They're almost the unstuff upable songs. Those two. You could literally get, you know, your dog with its ACL gone could sing that song and it would still sound good. They were just two good little pop songs and I don't think Leif sang on them. I think there might have been some session singers may have sung on that, but I think Mark Holden might know more about that. But how we let just that was the kind of, you know, walk through the door, get a cute little blonde boy getting to stand in front of a thing and lip sync two songs and off we go. It was Milli Vanilli before its time.
It used to get me up at the dance floor at the Blue Light Disco, Kev. Run Around Sue, I'd be up.
It's
I'd
a great a song, but play Dion's version, which is a great version, or play the Bloody Beach Boys. They were just awful, rinkety-tink little versions of terrible.
Oh. And he wore Olivia Newton-John grease pants with a Hawaiian shirt, which was an interesting look.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And I always confuse Leif Garrett and Christopher Atkins.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I don't think you would now. Leif's as bald as a badger.
It's fair, though, at the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Very similar. Very similar indeed. And I also reckon that those two cover versions and Santa Esmeralda's version of Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, one of the worst cover versions of all time. A great song. Terrific little, you know, pop rock song from the Animals, sung with gusto by Eric Burdon, and they turn it into this fairy floss bloody dance thing that was awful version of it. And it was a top five hit because Countdown had a bloody clip of it. A lot to answer for, Countdown. So they're the worst cover versions ever on that chart.
And made a lot of kids not believe in Santa.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we've got to go because the news is coming up. One final thing, Finey. Apart from get to Lenny's Fine Foods, if there's any stock list, and there will be, it'll be totally restocked by the time you hear this.
Yeah,
in North Caulfield,
it certainly will be
always stock.
All right, I'm just going to say this, and I've said it before. I have a hatred for those motorised bicycles. I mean, I'm starting to become an activist against them. They're everywhere. They're on the footpath. They think they can ride them everywhere, on the footpath, in the bike lanes, on the road, on a freeway, in an elevator. I fucking hate them.
Written, spoken, and authorised Mark Fine of Lenny's Fine Foods in North Caulfield. Brian, you've got time for one word.
Thank you.
That was two. Here's the news.
You've just experienced Ruck and Roll. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook.